Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are live at the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks to DMI for making our coverage of the World Dairy Expo possible. And joining us on the phone right now is USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Secretary Vilsack, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Hey, Chip. It's good to visit with you. It's good that you're at the Expo.
Yeah.
Where we now have the highest dairy consumption in the history of the United States this year. Good
yes.
news for the dairy producers.
Yes. Just to remind everyone, between Vilsack 1.0 and 2.0, the Secretary served as CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export. And Secretary Vilsack, the promotion of dairy products around the world is important. But how was dairy featured at the White House Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health last week?
Well, Chip, it's, as folks like to say, it's nature's perfect food. Nine essential minerals and vitamins. It's an opportunity, I think, for us to continue to look for ways in which we can make a nutritious food more accessible and more affordable for folks. I mean, that's the key right now. We want to make sure that people are fed, and certainly dairy protein is one very important component of a healthy diet, as reflected in the My Plate initiative at USDA, where we basically showcase what a good plate looks like, and that obviously includes dairy as well.
Yeah. How effective has that My Plate promotion been? I saw it. It looks great. And is it having an impact out there, do you think?
Well, I think it is. I think it makes it easier for people to understand exactly what a healthy plate looks like. It's certainly less complicated than the food pyramid. It basically says, look, half your plate, fruits and vegetables, the other half, carbs and protein, and with a side of dairy. Basically, I think it's a way for families that are busy. We need to continue to look for ways, Chip, in which we can empower people with information so they can make the best choices for their families. And part of what the White House conference focused on was the necessity of making this information easy to digest, easy to understand, and available.
Yes, absolutely. Let's stay on dairy here for a moment longer if we can. The margin protection program seems to be very popular. The question that I keep getting from producers is, when we get to the farm bill, is that something that's going to be in there? Or is it something that's going to be promoted again?
Well, I think that we've made a lot of changes and a lot of improvements to that program.
Yes.
I think we've learned that it works for folks and works for a significant number of folks. So what I would anticipate and expect that there wouldn't be any effort to try to change it. There may be some modifications and some things on the margins that need to be looked at, but the guts of the program seems to be working, and obviously you want to keep what's working and make it work better.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've got some good dairy prices out there right now. I've talked with a few producers here already, and we talk about expansion or the lack of expansion in the dairy industry right now. I think it's being held back by the high input costs that we're looking at, for one thing. But we've got demand. You said it. It's the biggest domestic demand that we've ever had is happening this year. That's nothing but good thing for the nutrition of here in the U.S. and for demand here for our product. Now, at last week's National Association of State Departments of Agriculture at the annual meeting, you talked about the details of a program to encourage domestic production of fertilizer. $500 million investment. What's been the reaction, and what's the timeline on when we might expect to see some results of that investment?
Well, Chip, we basically divided the application process into two separate applications. The first application period is 45 days, and that application is designed for projects that can provide potential impact on fertilizer availability crop year 2023, crop year 2024. So that's more immediate. Then we expect and anticipate there are going to be projects that will take a little bit longer. So we have a 90-day window for those applications. So our expectation is that we're going to get projects in both windows, and that we're going to basically put those resources to work as quickly as possible to get more domestic production of fertilizer, less reliance on countries that are providing us the fertilizer, providing us the essential elements of fertilizer that may not agree with us. So we want to be more reliant, self-reliant, and I think this is a significant effort on the part of the administration to understand that, yes, we understand how difficult the input issue is, and we're trying to do something about it. We're doing a lot in this area. I think you're going to see some information about seed technology coming out of this administration as well, because I think there is a reason for folks to be expressing concerns about whether they're getting a fair shake in the market.
Okay. What about the fertilizer tariffs on some of the imports that we're bringing in? Any movement on getting those removed?
Well, there's a continued conversation about that, but, those are, frankly, there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. Our Russian friends are trying to suggest that we've sanctioned fertilizer, that we're making it more difficult. That's not true. There are no sanctions against fertilizer. There are a couple of countries, obviously, that have where there's been an assessment, but that's been primarily designed to provide protection for our domestic industry. So, if you release the tariffs, then in theory, you may adversely impact the ability to produce it in the United States, which at the end of the day, I think is something that we want to continue to support, which is U.S.-made produced.
Yes, absolutely. I'm all with you there. And speaking of U.S.-made, any word on the Mosaic phosphate production facility down in Florida? Have you had a briefing if that facility will be able to ship product this fall? Good.
The good news is that they dodged more significant damage. There was a bit of disruption, but not something that's going to significantly impact supply in the U.S., which is obviously good news.
Excellent.
Unfortunately, that's not the case for so many people down in Florida, and our hearts and prayers go out to all those folks who have lost their homes and loved ones as a result of a horrific storm.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's good news on the fertilizer front. The Climate Smart Farming Initiatives, and in full disclosure, Farm Journal is a recipient of one of the partnerships through Trust in Food. It's a $2.8 billion investment in a wide, really wide-ranging and diverse group of projects. What's your initial thoughts on the efforts?
Well, it's always a good idea to listen to farmers. In setting this process up, we listened to farmers. We said, how would you think it should be set up? We followed their instructions. They said it should be farmer-led. It should be partnerships. It should be incentive-driven. It should be market-oriented. It should be voluntary. And we've done all of that. And the response, obviously, phenomenal. We expect and anticipate over 50,000 farmers across the country in all 50 states will participate. Every commodity group, for all intents and purposes, is engaged. Some really interesting technology. There's going to be measurement. There's going to be verification. We're going to learn a lot from this. It's going to allow the U.S. to take a leadership position internationally on these issues of climate. It's going to make it easier for us to market our products overseas as being sustainably produced. All good. Another set of announcements coming in later this month with a smaller grant program. So we'll add to that total.
Gotcha. $2.8 billion. It comes from the Commodity Credit Corporation, and some, most notably Representative Glenn Thompson, the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, is giving you some criticism for using the CCC funds. He would rather see it be part of a revolutionary conservation title in the Farm Bill rather than using the funds from the CCC. What's your reaction to that?
Well, again, we listened to the farmers. There was a coalition of 80 organizations, major farm groups, including Farm Bureau, National Farmers Union, most of the commodity groups, who essentially said, look, to start this, use CCC. Learn how to walk before you run. Then we can incorporate it into the normal programs at USDA. And the Inflation Reduction Act, a historic amount of investment in conservation, gives us a great platform in which to feed in best practices that we learn from this. So with all due respect to Representative Thompson, I think we listened to farmers. Farmers told us what to do, and I think the reaction that we got with over 1,000 applications indicates that perhaps it was a good idea to listen to farmers and use the CCC in this initial effort.
All right, very good. Well, I'm here at Madison, as I said at the start of the segment. Any tips on what I should be heading for and taking advantage of while I'm here?
Well, if I mean, gosh, you better be eating some Wisconsin cheese while you're up here.
You know I will be.
And I'm sure you're going to find an opportunity for a milkshake or two.
Ice cream is standing by. As a matter of fact, they're handing it to me right now, Secretary Vilsack. So I'm gonna have to say goodbye. But thank you so much for making time for AgriTalk.
All right, Chip, take it easy.
You bet. That is USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk is up next right here on AgriTalk.